that the fourth beast here is the Roman kingdom. But is the Roman kingdom, has it ended? Well, it's ended as far as one knows. In other words, as far as that literal kingdom then, it's over with. It ended. But in ideology and in territory, it's not ended. Because the Bible clearly says, and I'm going to read it to you today, the Bible clearly says that it will be resurrected or revisited in the latter days or in the end times. It's going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist, if you will. And we'll see that in Revelation. But before we get there, I want to show you that it's not a new idea in Revelation. It was given to Daniel. Clearly and distinctly given to Daniel. Now, if you would look back at chapter 7, and I think this is where I left off in verse 8. It says, I considered the horns, talking about that fourth kingdom now. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, everyone knows that that is Titus. Literally. But figuratively, it is the Antichrist. Because Titus was a type of the Antichrist. And so, therefore, that tells me that the Antichrist will be a part of that revisited, resurrected Roman kingdom. Without any doubt in my mind. I'll let you figure out your own mind. And he says, there were a little horn before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, the mouth speaking great things. Now, if you go over to Thessalonians, you see where the Antichrist speaks great things and calls himself God and sets himself up as God to be worshipped as God. Well, when we get to chapter 13, you're going to see that's exactly what happens when the beast comes on the scene. Out of the sea. And then the false prophet comes out of the earth. And he sets up this worship of the beast. But they're not worshiping the beast. They are worshiping the one behind the beast and the false prophet, which is the dragon, which is the serpent, which is Satan. So, any worship, and I know this is hard, and I just heard this morning, after I got ready, I had the TV on, and they had these four people debating the four great religions. There was this big uproar because this pastor in Dallas, Texas, had said that Mormonism was a cult, and that a Jew is not saved because they're a Jew, and there is just one way back to heaven. Oh, they eviscerated him for it. He's just telling the truth. But you see, here's what they said, and here's what I agree with. Each one of those four people that were debating this, there was the pastor, there was a Muslim, there was a Jew, and there was a Catholic. They were all talking about, you know, everyone's got the right to believe what they want to believe. I agree with that. Believe whatever you want to believe. But just know that what you believe, bless God, you're going to answer for. Because it is appointed unto man, not to just whoever, but to man, once to die, and after that, the judgment. So it doesn't make any difference. You believe what you want to believe. I only have one question for all religions in this world. How are you going to deal with your sin? Figure it out. How are you going to listen? You can believe all you want to, but when that last breath leaves you, you better have something done with your sin. Because I can tell you this, I don't care where you come from. God hates sin. It is, listen, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, right? But God hates sin. And God's going to judge sin. He's already judged sin. Because they that believe are condemned already. The verdict is in. If you don't know Christ, you're already condemned. You're not waiting to be condemned. You're not waiting for the verdict to be in. The verdict's in. See, we were all judged sinful. Right? Now, it's how do we get out of it? The verdict's in. God's not going to change the verdict, folks. There's only... Let me put it this way. If a person is on death row, and he's went through all of his appeals, he's got none left. All he's got to look forward to is the needle, or the electricity, or the bullet, or the hanging, or whatever the execution mode is. What is his only way out? The verdict's in. Huh? Somebody's got to pardon him. Why do you think they keep that phone by the bed? Waiting on the governor, the only one that can say, brother, I'm setting it aside. The only one, because everything's been done. Well, listen, the verdict's in. The only way you and I are going to get out of it is with a pardon. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're American. I don't care if you're Chinese. I don't care who you are. If you're not pardoned, it's death. The verdict's in. So that's the idea. But so he sets up this worldwide worship of the beast. But let's look at it and see what happens. He says, I beheld what? He beheld what? This fourth kingdom, right? But let's see how long he beheld it. And this is how I know that it's going to come up again. I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, is that not what we read in Revelation 4 and 5? He says, come up, and he went up, and he said, and the throne was set, and he that sat upon it, and it describes him, right? So we know that that's what it's talking about, the end time, the judgment time. So he says, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued, came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now listen, you've got thousands that are worshiping him. But then you've got thousands upon thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions upon millions, billions that stand before him in judgment. I hope you notice the two things there. One group's ministering to him. One group's getting ready to get judged. That's why I say, look, we've all been judged guilty. But if you got the pardon, you'll be in the ministering group. If you don't have the pardon, you're going to be in the judgment group. And we'll see that in the 20th, is it the 20th chapter? The 21st chapter, the White Throne Judgment? The 20th or 21st, it's somewhere in there, the very end. In my Bible, it's the right column, halfway down on the right. That's where it's at. But that's what's going to happen. So he says, and how were they judged? The books were opened. Well, isn't that what Revelation says? And the book was opened, and the books were opened, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's what it's talking about. So I know that this kingdom, this fourth kingdom, this terrible kingdom, this kingdom that no one had ever seen anything like it, has moved far into the future to the end time. And that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. Now, look if you will on down here, it says in verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast. Well, you'll find that in chapter 19 of Revelation. We will when we get there. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion. Now he goes back and he says, now look, I know you're wondering what happened to these other three. Well, the other three were just three kings on the earth, and their kingdoms were for a while, and then even after their kingdom, they lived for a season or a short time, and then they were gone. But not so with that fourth beast. Not so with that fourth kingdom. Now, look over, if you will, at chapter 9. And let's try to get a time frame on all this. Now, here in chapter 9, y'all know, and if you've never read chapter 9 thoroughly, you should read it. In chapter 9, Daniel's prayer. You know, I've told you to read John 17 because it's Jesus' prayer. In Daniel 9, Daniel is praying. Daniel has read in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. He's read that the time of the bondage of Israel is going to be a certain period of time. It's going to be 70 years. Did anybody pick up on the fact that the very day, to the day now, not one day off, not 2 days off, to the day, 70 years after they return to their land, we go over there and recognize Jerusalem as the capital. 70 years to the day. He says 70 weeks here in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Now, so who's he talking about? Who is the holy people? Huh? Israel, the Jews. Because he talks about, he says, 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon thy holy city. What's the holy city? Jerusalem. Folks, listen. These people that say that Jerusalem is not the capital of Israel, they're stupid. You say, Tom, don't call people stupid. Well, the Bible calls them stupid. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know what the word fool means? Stupid. Stupid is as stupid does. Anybody that doesn't believe this word is stupid, folks. Now, I don't say that. God says it. Now, if they've got a problem with it, they get their chance to ask God about it. I don't think they'll come out too good, you know. But that's the truth. So, he says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and on thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about the coming of the Messiah. And why did the Messiah come? To put an end to sin. Just for Jerusalem and just for Israel? Oh, no, no. Aren't you glad that us? But here it's talking about them, folks. Listen, here's what the Bible says. I'll just give you what the Bible says, and that's how I understand these things. The Bible says, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel of Christ, now I'm putting that in there, for it, the gospel of Christ is the power of God. God. The power of God unto salvation to the Jew first. He came unto his own. Now, because they received him not, Romans 9 says that they were cut off. And that somebody was grafted in. Who was that? That was us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Now, the Bible also says that there's going to be an end of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles. That time, the times of the Gentiles is going to end. And at the end of that, what's going to happen? It says that they will be grafted back in. And all Israel shall be saved. Now, who is the all Israel there? Boy, I tell you, y'all are remembering this stuff good. That's good. It's the remnant. That person is correct, what he said this morning. You are not saved because you're a Jew. But I'll tell you something else, you're not. You're not saved because you call yourself Christian either. Hey, like that. You know, Christianity now has just become a world religion, folks. I'm very careful in, you know, how I use the term. I like saved. Huh? I like born again. You can't miss on that. You can't get that wrong. But Christianity just sort of become, I tell you, I got so much going on in here. If y'all knew what was up here, you'd understand. There's not much up there. Did anybody see the wedding? See what wedding? Well, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But I did see snippets of it. Now, did you see where they had to sign the registry after the wedding? Yeah, you have the signing of the registry. In other words, she now has become royalty. And you know what she got with that royalty? Oh, now listen, don't miss on this. This is good. This is good. I mean, had nothing to do with this. Has to do with this. She got a new name. She's now called the Duchess of Sussex. But she got a new name after she was made royal. Well, isn't that what the Bible says is going to happen to us? We get a new name. He says he has made us a royal priesthood. Listen, he took a bunch of nothings. Oh, that's where she come from. And I don't mean that disparaging again. This is her story. They came from very rough times. Very poor. You know, they called it the Cinderella story. And you know, when they got into that carriage and them white horses, my mind didn't run. My mind wasn't on them white horses. I can tell you that. My mind went to another white horse. Huh? One of these days, bless God, it says he's going to come out on white horses. And behind him is going to be his armies. And they're all going to be on white horses. That's where my mind went. Because you know what? We're going to be making the victory march. Oh, they were, listen, they were going around through there getting all the applause and everything because now she's royalty. She's now the Duchess of Sussex. And that's fine. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. That's okay. I didn't get up early to watch it, but that's fine. But I did get a wonderful spiritual thing out of watching a royal wedding. Because, you know, the Bible says that one of these days we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have us a big time. Now, I got to get back. So here we go. I digressed and I apologize. So, he says, know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now, if you read Jeremiah 30, you see where it says it's called even the time of Jacob's trouble. A time such as never was, Matthew 24 says. from the beginning of time will never be a time like this time when Jacob's trouble comes. And he says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. In other words, he's crucified. Why? Well, it tells you. But not for himself. He didn't die for himself. Aren't you glad? He didn't have to. He was pure. Oh, he was holy. He was without sin. He was without spot or blemish. Dying for someone like me who was as spotted and blemished and filthy and dirty of sin as I could be. Yet he would come and do that for me. But he says this, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now who's that? Starts with a T. Next letter is I. Titus. In 70 A.D. But I want you to notice something. And the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many. Now who's he there? Well, you would think that it's talking about Titus because, you know, but it's not. Titus, we told you, was a type of the Antichrist. So here he's talking about Titus destroying Jerusalem, but then he just jumps way into the future. And here's what he said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to promise peace to the nation of Israel. And they're going to believe him. And he's going to set this covenant up with them, this 7-year covenant. And in the middle of that covenant, something's going to happen. Let's see what it is. And he shall confirm the covenant with me for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, there's two ways you can look at that. You can look at it literally or figuratively. First of all, literally. If it's talking literally there, what it means is that the temple, then there's no temple over there today, folks. So what it would mean is that the temple would have to be rebuilt. And the establishment of Judaism would have to be reestablished. And the sacrifices and the oblations would have to be reinstituted. Right? That's what would have to be. Because he says he causes it to cease. That means they're doing it. Now that's if it's literally. You say, Tom, why are you giving us two ways? I don't know. I can say this about it being literal. God would never allow animal sacrifice again. His son was the sacrifice. Hebrews says, once and for all. It's done. So either it would be unbelievers doing it, trying to reestablish Judaism, or it's figuratively. And if it's figuratively, it simply means this, that in the middle of this this 7 years, the Antichrist stops the worship of God and sets up himself as God. That's what Thessalonians says, so it goes pretty good with it. Sets himself up in the temple as God to be worshiped as God. That's what happens. That's what happens. So I don't know. Look, I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to tell you something I don't know. Maybe if I keep studying and digging, the Lord will give it to me. I don't know. But I can tell you this. Either way works for me. Because I'm not going to be here. It doesn't apply to me. As my mother used to say, it's none of your business. So I don't know. And if someone tells you they do know, maybe you can get that and give it to me, and then me and you both will know. And he shall confirm the covenant with me for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. Now isn't that what Jesus said? When you see the desolation of abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet, what did he say do? Run. Just as fast you can get out of there, because things is going to happen. All right. So he says, he shall make it a desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now look over, if you will, at chapter 11, the very end of it. And here he's talking about the Antichrist again, this very last verse. And he says, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. That's why I think that he's just going to set up a religion for himself, where he is worshipped. Well, after all, isn't that what the Caesars did? In other words, they called it Caesar worship. And listen, if you didn't worship Caesar, you were killed. I mean, a lot of people were put into the arena. A lot of people were hung upside down and set on fire because they refused to worship Caesar. One of them being Polycarp. Everybody remembers the story of Polycarp. And so I think maybe that's what's going to happen. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the scorched holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now, when is it talking about this? Well, you know, the Bible is not written in chapters. Chapters were put in there to sort of help divide it out. So if you keep reading, you get the answer. And at that time, what time? Well, when he does this. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, Michael's already been mentioned in Daniel chapter 9. You remember? Daniel was praying, and this angel came and said, listen, the first day you started praying, I was sent. But I was held up by the prince of Persia. Now, we know that an angel can't be held up by a human being. So we know it was demonic, right? And he says, somebody come and help me. Therefore, I am here to give you the answer. Who came and helped him? Michael. Hey, I don't know everything about Michael, but I know one thing about him. Better not mess with him. Huh? Listen, if one angel could kill 186,000 of Sennacherib's army, bless God, you better not mess with Michael. Amen. Because evidently Gabriel brings good news. Michael's a warrior.
I wouldn't want to make Gabriel mad
either. No, I wouldn't either. So, he says, and Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, folks, let me give you a prayer request. You know, we give out many prayer requests in here. Let me add one to your list. Pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the salvation of Israel. You know, Paul loved them so much that he said, you know, I'd go to hell myself if I could get my people saved. Boy, to have just a little bit of what he had a whole lot of, wouldn't that be good? But let's listen to the world. When you look over at that little nation, hey, it's been there and it's going to be there. Yeah. Now, there ain't nobody going to do away with it. Don't you buy into this old stuff. Donald Trump not going to save them. Donald Trump not going to make them great. He not going to make his country great. President Obama didn't make them great. Nobody gonna make this country great, nor Israel great. I'll tell you who's gonna make Israel great. God.
Amen.
When He delivers them. But let me tell you something. Just because they are over there, the Bible says, doesn't mean they are of them. Only those who come through the Lord Jesus Christ are the remnant. Period. No different. But there's going to be a bunch. Oh, when we get over there, you're going to see. He comes over and he says, oh my goodness, look at this great throng of people. And he says, well, you know where they come from? He says, no, but you do, I'm sure. I'm paraphrasing now. He says, oh, they came through great tribulation and have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way they're going to come, folks. But they're going to come. God says they are. He says it right here. He says, and they shall be delivered. Everyone, oh, and boy, if it stopped right there now, you know, then we'd have all this universal salvation, right? If it just everyone, and period. But it doesn't stop there, folks. Just like it doesn't stop there with you or me. Just because you come to Liberty Fellowship Church, bless God, you're not in. Just because you call yourself a Christian, you're not in. I'll tell you when you're in. When you're in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, everyone whose names. Is that what it says? What else does it say? If your name's not in there, you're not in. Because when you get to the judgment, here's what happens. Let me look under the F's here. Foster. Thomas. Well, there's a lot of Thomases. Leslie. Oh. Leslie. Oh. Yeah. There you are. And you know what's written in? Blood. Don't you like it? You're there? No doubt. You're in the book. But if you're not in the book, you're out. So he says, who's found written in the book? And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Contempt. And they that be...
wise.
You remember we talked about that, didn't we? Now, how do you get wise? How do you become a wise guy? Well, remember I gave it to you in Corinthians. You only get the wisdom of God one way. In Christ. You don't have God's wisdom apart from Christ. If you don't have Christ, you don't have the wisdom of God. If you don't have the wisdom of God, you don't have Christ. If you don't have either one of them, you're not written in the book. See, so that's what we ought to focus on. When we witness to people, that's what we ought to... Listen, don't go out there with a universality complex. Go out there with a narrow path. For straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth to... Listen, don't let anyone ever get you off of that. Don't try to expand it. Because if you expand it, it becomes the... There you go. You're picking up on it. Now, all right, now, if you would turn to Revelation, and I'm going to just read this, and then I'm done. Revelation chapter 6. So what does chapter 6 begin? Okay, let me say that again. So what does chapter 6 begin? Huh? No. What I'm trying to get you... What? Well, that's sort of true. But I just read it to you. It is the time of... Chapter 6 begins the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, do you know how I know that? Nobody's going to answer. But you've got the Becky way out. I mean, if I come to you, you can just say all over. I just read it to you. There is 70 weeks that begin the time of Jacob's trouble. And the first 3.5 years of the 7 weeks is what? Peace. You remember? The Antichrist comes in and he promises peace. Not for 3.5 years. He promised peace for 7 years. He makes his pact with them, this covenant. And in the middle of that is when he breaks it. So, what would you think would be the very first thing that comes on the scene when the seal is opened and the time of Jacob's trouble begins? What would you think it's about? Peace. Well, let's see if it is. He says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder." In other words, this great voice, one of the living creatures, one of those angels around the throne with a voice that you couldn't miss. Sound like thunder, sort of like last night. "One of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Now, I know that there are those who want to take "and see" out. But for me to take "and see" out, it would have to be in italics, which means it would have to have been added by one of the scribes. It's not. And it makes perfect sense. When one of the four angels says, "And the seal was broken," and he said, "Come here and see." What is he looking from? Heaven. He's got heaven's view of what's going to happen on earth. And the angel says, "Come, John. Come here, John, and see." Now, I know that's right because of what it says next. "And I saw." I mean, if I said, "Homer, come here and see," and Homer walks over and says, "Yeah, I saw that." Wouldn't that make sense? So he's not saying to the horse, "Come." He's saying to John, "The seal's been broken. Come here and see what's going to happen." And John says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse." And everyone says, "Oh, that's the Lord." Oh, is it? Because in 24 of Matthew, he says, Matthew chapter 24, he says, "Oh, if you hear him say, 'The Christ is over here,' don't you go over there." He says, "Many's going to come in my name and say, 'I'm the Christ.'" You better not believe that. This person is no... one other, and you'll never convince me of anything else, so don't try, than the Antichrist, folks, because of what it says. First of all, he's imitating Christ. Listen, God has his Son and Holy Spirit and Father, right? Well, Satan's got his Trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And the beast is the Antichrist. And so he says, "And I saw a white horse, And him that sat upon it had a bow. Well, that can't be Christ, because when Christ comes on in chapter 19 on his white horse, he don't have a bow. He's got a sword. And his garment is got blood all over it. Come on in, Todd. Good to see you.
Okay.
Amen, brother. Come on in now. Well, you doing all right?
Yeah.
You was with your mom last week? All right. That's what I like. All right. So he says, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown. What's that tell you? Authority. But where does he get the authority? It tells you. No, it tells you. What's the next word? Was given unto him. See, he goes out, and here's what it is. How many of you have heard the word diplomacy? Huh? I mean, you know, they don't want us to start war with North Korea. They don't want it solved with a war. They want us to have diplomacy. You know what that means, don't you? They sit down and lie to each other. Because if a politician is talking, they're lying. I don't care if it's theirs or ours. You know, they talk about, everyone's always talking about the other side lying. Listen, they both lie. I've got to where I wouldn't trust none of them as far as I could throw either one of them. But he says, he comes in with this smooth talk. And all you have to do, hey, listen, all you got to do is go over to Thessalonians and it'll tell you about the smooth talk. He comes in with diplomacy. And they buy it. And authority is given to him. And it says, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. In other words, peace now is on the earth. And it lasts for how long? It lasts for 3.5 years. Now, why does it only last 3.5 years? Well, because God said that's how long it lasts. It lasts 3.5 years because this book says it lasts 3.5 years. And then, you know what happens? A time of Jacob's trouble, such as never been on. Listen. Chapter 2 begins the Great Tribulation. The last 3.5 years. Come on in, brother. Break out the instruments. Strike up the band. I'm done. See you next week. Goodbye. Keep your cards and letters coming. Keep me on the air.